At the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, it is recorded that our Lord said to the apostles, "All authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, Baptists generally would agree that they are a part of the Great Commission. We believe that the gospel is for the whole world, and that we, by God's grace, are participants in the redemptive process which God has designed for his world. And furthermore, we believe that God can bless his world as we are faithful to participate in the proclamation of his word. But I think we would also agree that historically, God has had some severe difficulty with his people, both the Jews and with Christians, at the point of our being concerned enough and committed enough to be serious about the matter of seeking to win the whole world for Christ. I think the little story of Jonah in the Old Testament has much to say to us. And perhaps we are more like Jonah than we would like to think. You remember how that little book begins. "And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord." And you remember the rest of that story, how that Jonah went down to the seaport town of Joppa, bought himself a ticket, boarded a ship, and was going to Tarshish. But we're told that the Lord sent a great wind upon the sea, and before long the sailors, in desperation, were calling upon all the passengers and the crew to enter into earnest prayer to their God that somehow mercy would be shown to them. And so they threw the cargo overboard. The storm did not cease, but increased in its raging. And before long, they began an investigation. Who was the culprit aboard? Who had committed a great crime that would call the wrath of the gods upon them? And they discovered Jonah, who was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. And finally, Jonah admitted that he was wrong and instructed them to throw him overboard, and then the sea would cease its raging. But God was not through with Jonah. He had prepared a great fish, we're told, and Jonah remained in the stomach of that big fish for 3 days and nights. And there, thinking that he was going to die, he cried out from his desperation to the Lord God, and later was able to testify that the Lord heard him in his distress, commanded the fish to cast him on the shore. Jonah was recommissioned and then went to Nineveh and proclaimed the message of God. "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed," was his message. The people believed the prophet, repented of their sins. A great revival apparently took place. But Jonah, rather than being happy and elated, instead was sulky and angry and complaining. And he told God that he wished he could die. And so the story comes to an end, God pleading with Jonah to come to spiritual reality. Now, there are many wonderful elements in that story that we might consider. But let me suggest three briefly this morning. First of all, God's motive in missions, and then God's method in missions, and lastly, God's mercy in missions. What could have motivated God to send his preacher to a foreign pagan city such as Nineveh? I believe that we have a cue in the second verse where we read, "For their wickedness has come up before me." God knows what human sin will do to humanity. God knows that it will pervert and twist and bring pain and corruption and finally will bring death. And God has wonderfully addressed himself to this problem of human evil in our world consistently and persistently. I believe that God is still experiencing this human evil that comes up before him. The Living Bible says at that place that their wickedness stinks to highest heaven. There in Tokyo, Japan, I shall never forget visiting the U.S. Army Hospital at Zama, just south of Tokyo, and especially visiting those wards where our young American boys had been flown back wounded from Vietnam, especially the amputee wards, where these young Americans had lost legs and arms and eyes and stomachs filled with shrapnel. They were not particularly complaining as we talked and prayed with them, but I could not help but think what a terrible price, what a high price they had paid, because there is evil in our world, and they will be paying the price as long as they live. Or I think of International Christian University, located about a mile from our church there in Tokyo. About 3 years ago, they had some severe trouble in that university, so much so that it was closed down for some 6 or 7 months. I used to go over to use their little bookstore and their post office, and I would hear a student with a microphone and a PA system as he ranted and raved. And sometimes there would be a few students around listening, sometimes as many as 25 or 30. Before long, I started seeing red flags hanging from the buildings of that university. And I began to inquire what was going on. And one of the students told me that the communists, radicals, were trying to take over the university. Before long, we heard that a student-faculty meeting had taken place, and when the radicals did not get all of their demands, the faculty discovered that the exits to the building in which they were meeting had been blockaded, and for 3 days they were held hostages. Things were real ugly, and the school subsequently closed. But there are those in our world who have the philosophy, we will rule or we will ruin. There is wickedness in our world that rises up before God. Or I think of that Air Force captain who came to my study late one night. He was a member of our church and had his master's degree from Yale University with honors. He came into my study and he says, "Pastor, I need to talk with you, for sometimes I feel like my life is going to explode." I encouraged him to talk. We talked for more than 2 hours that night and many hours subsequently. And it seems that at least part of the root of his trouble was the fact that as a little boy, he used to come home at night from school to encounter an inebriated, drunken father who would beat his mother, and he would often have to hide under the bed or in a closet or go to a neighbor house to evade the irrationality of a drunken father. It seems that these experiences had set up such an inner conflict within his life that it was still a lingering reality, even though he had the trappings and the marks of outward success in our society. A good salary, a good position, a fine family, church membership, and a good position, a good education. And yet, according to his own testimony, he felt that his life was about to fly apart. There is much evil in our world. We know that. And surely it must stink to highest heaven. But God is addressing himself. He has addressed himself. And I believe he will continue to address himself to this great human problem. So much for the motive of God. Now for God's method in missions. I believe that God's chief method is to call and equip his servants to go and proclaim his message and to be redemptively involved in the very life of the peoples of the world. God calls us and commissions us to be the bearers of his will and his way in our world. God wants us to be involved in enlarging the circle of our Savior's friends. He works through human instrumentality. But now we notice in the story of Jonah that God does not coerce in the call. Jonah, as he looked at this situation, the call of God to go to Nineveh as a young prophet, sized up the situation and he says, "No, thank you, God, not me. That task is just beyond my capabilities. Why, God, don't you know that Nineveh is the capital of Assyria? Don't you know of their military might, how that they have caused the nations in this part of the world to tremble in their boots? And at any time, the great steamroller of their military might could roll across Israel. Lord, they would not believe a little spokesman, a poor preacher from Israel. Surely, God, you don't know what you're asking. God, why don't you get someone else to go if you want somebody to go, but don't count on me." And so he decides to go the other way. But we notice that Jonah ran into a storm. And I believe that many of the personal and social and collective storms of our world are caused as we run away from the known will of God for us in his world. But it was in the midst of that storm, in the extremity of the circumstances, that he was once again willing to call upon God, and we read that God heard his prayers. God will hear his servants even in extreme circumstances. God recommissioned him and sent him into that city. And so it is God's method to proclaim, to have his servants proclaim his message to a world and to live the reality of the righteousness of God. And now for the mercy of God. God had promised judgment upon this great ancient city because of its wickedness. But God's purpose through it all was to show mercy. And when they believed the prophet, when they repented of their sins, God was willing and ready to show mercy upon them so that they need not fear, but to experience the graciousness and the goodness of God. The tragedy of the story is, though, that Jonah, the preacher of the message of God, could not enter in to the mercy and the purpose of God, at least in a very deep way. For he goes outside of the city and begins to pout and complain and was angry. Lord God, I told these people that the city was going to be destroyed in 40 days, the message you gave me, and now you're going to have mercy upon them. Lord, you're just making me out a liar. What will my people think back in Israel when they discover that I have been an instrument of your mercy to an enemy? And so Jonah said, Lord, why don't you just take my life? Isn't it tragic when God's servants are miserable in their service? I do not believe that God intended it to be so. I believe that the Lord who calls us to a ministry, to a mission, is also the God who supplies our needs, who sustains us, who will go with us, and who can bring us the greatest sense of joy and fulfillment that we can experience. Some 3 years ago now, about halfway through our term in Japan, I became quite weary of the whole business, just about exhausted with a sense of spiritual dryness. But sometimes I think the Lord permits us to experience these times in order that He might steer us to His resources. And through a group of other Christians and through prayer meetings and those who knew something of the deep walk in the Christian life and the ministry of God's Holy Spirit in the soul of His servants, I was able to experience a renewal to the place where once more I could rejoice in the mercy of God. God's love was poured into my heart. And I discovered that the Bible is a living book. I discovered that there is joy, sheer joy, in communion with God in prayer. And I discovered that the Lord wanted me to be just a usable vessel for His great work in the world. And I came to see that it was not my ministry for Him, but it was His ministry through me to the world. I believe there are many weary ministers of the gospel in today's world. I would challenge you to make a renewed study of your New Testament, which has to do with the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. For I believe this is a great key. Now, Jonah had a head knowledge of the mercy of God, but not a heart knowledge. He could not enter into a deep level with the joy and purpose that God had for him. And so he was miserable. It need not be that way. I believe that the Lord can give us a joy in service. He can bring His mighty peace and mighty power to accomplish His task in the world. Some of us have come to see that human resources are utterly inadequate for the spiritual warfare in our world. But God's resources are adequate if we can tap them and participate in them and to move forward as His servants, knowing that God has addressed Himself to the wickedness of our world, knowing that He has called us to participate in His ministry of reconciliation, knowing that ultimately God has a great plan of mercy for His whole world. Are we participating in it? Do we know the gracious joy and victory of our God? We can. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that You would anoint Your servants so that we would go out in the fullness of Your wisdom and Your love and Your power. For we believe that You not only call us to the Christian task, but You equip us as a soldier of the cross. Father, we thank thee that you have promised us such great things in the future, in your eternal kingdom, that Jesus Christ has brought his kingdom of light and righteousness before our eyes, and we can participate with him in his great work in the world. Lead us forth with this sense of your presence and your companionship as we go. For we ask it in the name of one who gave himself for us and has promised never to leave us as we go and as we minister in our world. In the name of our Lord,